Hear the word of God, as it's written in the second book of the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 33, reading verses 12 to 23. This can be found on page 71 of the Pew Bibles. God meets Moses on a mountainside. Exodus 33, reading from verse 12. Hear the word of God. One day, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name Yahweh before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. John, to chapter 20, reading verses 19 to 29, which can be found on page 828 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus appears to his disciples after his resurrection from the tomb. Appears to all but one, that is. John chapter 20, reading from verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Going on holiday can be such fun. Flying abroad, brilliant. But getting there can have its own ups and downs. I love the thrill of flying, but waiting in queues to check in for your flight can sometimes seem to take as long as the flight itself. There was one particular long and slow moving check-in desk at Glasgow Airport for a long distance flight to Florida. Of course, the vast majority of passengers in the queue were holidaymakers who waited with a certain degree of patience, thoughts of Mickey Mouse's kingdom and the 2 or 3 weeks off work helping to keep them calm. But there was one man in the queue who wasn't going on holiday. He was a businessman whose new secretary had booked him on this holiday plan, a normal commercial flight, where he would normally travel first class with all the pampering that he was used to. Well, this man was so full of his own importance, and he became so fed up waiting to check in that he strode to the front of the queue, past several families waiting patiently in front of him, and said to the lady at the check-in desk in a loud, pompous voice, "Do you not know who I am? Wee Sally Fregoven." Calmly looked up at the puffed up passenger, reached for the tannoy system and said, much to the amusement of all who were looking on, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have a man here who does not know who he is. If anyone knows who this gentleman is, could they come forward and tell him his name?" As everyone burst into laughter, the somewhat deflated, pompous man returned to his place in the queue. Jesus once asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Peter, the unofficial leader of the disciples at that time, answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter knew who Jesus really was. He knew his real name, his name above all names. When Jesus appears after his resurrection, all but one disciple are present. But Thomas, the one who was missing, does not believe the others when they tell him later that Jesus is risen from the grave and he is alive and well. A few days later, Jesus appears again to the disciples and all are present as he opens his arms to Thomas and in effect asks him, "Who do you say I am?" Thomas sees the scars and he believes. Thomas is met in his doubt by the real Christ, the risen Saviour, and Thomas believes because he sees the scars with his own eyes. I wonder, what would you do if you met Jesus the Christ today in the flesh? What would you do if on a walk with a friend round Strathclyde Park this afternoon, Jesus suddenly was there walking with you, talking with you as you pass by the bandstand where we met on Easter Sunday morning, and his glory is suddenly revealed to you as he says your name? As you stood there with your jaw wide open, how would you respond if he asked you the same question? Who do you say I am? Standing there, probably dumbstruck by the presence of the one so pure, you may find him looking around at what's going on in your life. And then he may ask you, "Do you know where you are? Where you are going on this journey of life? And do you know in which direction you are travelling?" He won't be asking about your journey around Strathclyde Park. He'll be asking about where you are in your life, about your present state of mind, whether you're happy, whether you're enjoying his abundant joy, and whether you have his peace within your heart, a peace such as the world cannot give, a peace that allows you and enables you to travel through the chaos that life sometimes brings, with the assurance that in the midst of our pain, Jesus travels with us. When I was studying for ministry, I had to choose a symbol that reflected my understanding of our journey of life, and then I had to write an essay on it. I just love writing essays. But I chose a map, not unlike the London Underground map that you see with its many intersecting routes, its stations, its multiple starting and finishing points, the dead ends, the tunnels, and the abandoned lines. To me, it represented the variety and chaos of life. We don't all start from the same station. Some are born rich, others poor. Some in settled, loving homes. Others are born into crisis and disharmony. But everybody can be located somewhere on the map, for there is no place that is so far away from God that he cannot meet you and show you a way back to the right path. But the map is very complex, because everybody travels his or her own individual journey. Such is the diversity of humanity. And though it is surely impossible for us to know how anyone else truly experiences this world, because we have not walked in their shoes and experienced life as they have. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that God, the creator of the universe, knows everything about us, down to the smallest detail. And I believe that no matter what has brought each individual to the point on the map that they find themselves, I believe that Jesus is waiting to meet with us there. No matter the depth of our faith or the lack of it, Jesus meets us where we are. And he always presents us with a crossroads, at which point we can choose to follow God's path or not. But even if we do respond positively to meeting Jesus, this does not mean we'll suddenly be transported onto some kind of superhighway that runs through the center of the map, from birth to death to heaven. If you have been traveling down side streets on the periphery of faith, then perhaps your new path will take you along similar streets for a while, but each new street will gently lead you back to God's intended path for you. I'm sure it was never God's plan that we all walk the same path, for we are all called to walk where we are as witnesses that Jesus, the Christ, is risen from the grave, that he is alive today in our hearts, that he knows our name and the name of all the people that we meet. And there are people who think they're on the right path, but in fact, they have been deceived by the sophisticated temptations of this material world that we live in. There are people who believe they are so far down a dead end that they cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, and believe there is no hope for them. And there are people who just don't want to be saved. I pray that you do want to be saved, and that Jesus will use you to meet with those who are lost, those who are frightened, those who are sick and alone, those who have little faith, and those who have none. And I pray that Jesus will use you in ways that you or I do not fully understand, to reach into the soul of the person you are sent to meet and bring that person to salvation. During the height of his popularity, Jesus could have stayed in one place and let the people come to him. And they would have. They would have flocked to him like lost sheep seeking their shepherd. But Jesus did not choose to do that. Instead, he was always on the move, going to where the people were, reaching out to the ones that others passed by, sitting down with the ones that others called unclean. Jesus went to where the people were, and he's still doing that today. Yes, he meets us here, for Jesus tells us in the Bible that where two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be in their midst. Jesus meets us where we are. He draws alongside us both physically and spiritually. Are you ready to meet Jesus today? Do you want to meet Jesus today? Do you want to be engulfed by a love so divine, so excelling that your soul is uplifted? Or are you worried that you're not ready? That you need to prepare yourself in some way? That you need to spend an hour or two on your knees tidying up your soul by confessing all your sins and praying for his mercy and forgiveness? Well, know that Jesus wants to meet you right here, right now. He wants to meet you in all your sinfulness. He wants to meet you in all your broken promises to him. He wants to meet you in all your weakness and doubt. Jesus wants to meet you as you are, here and now. I love the contrast in the two main characters from our Old and New Testament readings today, Moses and Thomas. Moses had led the people out of captivity. He had performed miracles through God's power. He had spoken personally to God on a number of occasions. And yet, he felt compelled to ask for more proof of who God was before he was prepared to lead the Jewish nation to the promised land. And he asked to see the dazzling light of God's presence. And God hears his plea and says that he will pass by Moses and whisper his holy name at the same time. This was an amazing thing to do for someone who knows your name. It was believed that they had power over that person. If you don't know somebody's name, then you can't curse them. You can't control them, and you can't pursue them through the courts. Sometimes knowing someone's name can be a powerful weapon, but in its giving, it can be a mighty sign of trust. God trusted Moses. Thomas had been a follower of Jesus for well over 2 years. He knew him well, and yet he refused to believe the other disciples unless he saw for himself. Jesus sees the doubt in his heart, just as he sees the doubt that can be in our hearts today. And he opens his arms to Thomas to show him the signs of the cross that he might believe. Jesus meets us every morning when we wake. He meets us as we journey through our everyday lives. And we can choose how we meet Jesus, for we are blessed with his holy word that tells us just who he is. We can meet him like Moses and long to see more of him. We can meet him like Peter and let our hearts be open to his glorious presence. Or we can meet him like Thomas with doubt until we see for ourselves the scars of the cross. Satan comes to remind us of the past. Revelation 12:10 calls him the accuser. He loves to point out sins from our past to keep us from serving God as we should. If you are bound by guilt today, remember that your sins have been washed in the blood of Christ, and in the eyes of God, you stand innocent before him. Do not allow who you were to keep you from being who you were meant to be. Jesus knew that those who were self-righteous, like the religious rulers who questioned and persecuted him, they didn't think or see their need for a saviour. But sinners, like those he ate dinner with, did. Sinners are exactly who Jesus came to save. And we all fall into that category. Jesus met tax collectors and sinners in their comfort zones. They didn't have to clean up for him, follow a set of rules for change. Jesus met them where they were. And the same goes for us today. Jesus, he doesn't ask us to be perfect before we can know him. He's always willing to meet us in the middle of our mess. So let me finish with just two quick questions. The first, to those who are still searching for the truth. Are you allowing a mess in your life to keep you from meeting Jesus? And what can you do today to let go of the mess and know that Jesus is ready to meet you just as you are? And secondly, to those who have already declared their faith in Jesus, what are you doing to reach out to people who are in the middle of a mess or hard time? And how can you show Jesus to those around you who desperately need him? For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you meet us in all our sinfulness. You journey with us all the time. And yet we live sometimes as if you're not there. Help us, Lord, to realize in those moments that you are with us and that we could turn to you and seek your strength, seek the peace that you offer when we so often need it the most. This we pray by Jesus' mighty name. Amen.